The little book of Ruth is one of the most important books in all of the Bible. It's not only a personal story of romance and redemption, it's also a picture of the Redeemer, Christ Himself, who comes from Bethlehem seeking a Gentile bride. The symbolism of Boaz's love for Ruth and their commitment to one another is a symbolic picture of Jesus Himself, who loved us and gave
a spiritual gift. What do I have to do to get one? Fortunately, there are a number of spiritual gifts over which there is no debate. And if you're a Christian, you probably already have one or more of these gifts. Do you know what your gifts are? World Prophetic Ministry is privileged to present this two-part series by Dr. Ed Heinsohn entitled Spiritual Gifts for Today. To receive the most from Dr. Heinsohn's teaching, you should have your Bible, notebook, and pencil ready. Dr. Heinsohn begins with a close look at spiritual gifts for the end times.
If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you probably are familiar with the verses of Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, etc. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Most of us know that passage, and we've heard messages on that passage, but we haven't read the rest of Romans 12. Why did he tell us? Give God your life, your heart, your soul, your body to be conformed to the will of God. The answer is so that you and I might serve God, and in order to help us serve Him, the Bible tells us in Romans 12 that God has given us certain spiritual gifts by which to do that. I want to invite you today, if you have a Bible available to you, take it and turn to Romans chapter 12, and let's take a look at that passage. We'll assume the first two verses, but then let's go to verse 3 and beyond and see what he says to us about using our lives in the service of the Lord as we look at seven spiritual gifts for the end times. Seven spiritual gifts that God uses to motivate our service to Him. Now, there are more gifts listed in the Bible in other passages, in Ephesians and in Corinthians. But these seven in the book of Romans are spiritual gifts that drive our service for God, that determine, in essence, what it is we do for the Lord. And when we're using these gifts, we experience a maximum of efficiency and a minimum of frustration. When you're trying to imitate somebody else's gift, you're probably frustrated because it really isn't you. But when you're using your spiritual gift, it will come spontaneously. Almost naturally in the spiritual realm, it'll be easy to do because it's the very thing that God has gifted you to do. Take your Bible, if you will, and go to Romans 12 and go to verse 3, and we'll pick up the passage at that point. Paul goes on to say that not only are we to be conformed to the will of God for our lives, but we're to understand that God, by His grace, has given to every one of us the gift of grace and salvation and the gift of faith, according as God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. So never say to yourself, well, I just don't have a spiritual gift. I don't know what my gift is. No, if you know the Lord as your Savior, you at least have the gift of faith. You at least have that touch of God's grace in your life. And God saved you, not only to take you to heaven, but to use you in the meantime to serve Him right here on earth. He goes on to say that as we have many members in our physical bodies, hands and legs and arms, etc., so we in the body of Christ are many members. And as all of us work together, we are serving the Lord as one body. He tells us in this passage that we have gifts, verse 6, differing according to the grace of God. Now, the word gifts in the Greek New Testament is the word charisma, and it comes from the root word of grace, charis. There's a connection between the two. And both of them are based on the little Greek word, joy, and it's the word char. The idea is simply this. It gives God great joy to extend to us His grace and then equip us with spiritual gifts so that we might serve Him as instruments of His grace and bring joy into the lives and the hearts of others. And because those gifts are gifts of God's grace, they're not just gifts of our own ability, our own personality, but it's the touch of God on our lives. And then he lists those seven spiritual gifts here in Romans 12. Seven spiritual gifts that motivate us in our service to the Lord. Notice what they are. In the King James Bible, it says the gift of prophecy, the gift of ministry, the gift of teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, and showing mercy. Prophecy is the gift, literally, of preaching, of declaring the Word of God. A person who is gifted as a prophet of God has a compelling desire in his heart and life to verbalize the message of God, to declare, "Thus saith the Lord." Prophets cannot be quiet. They must speak up. Like the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament, who said, "The word of God was like a fire burning within my soul. I could not be quiet. I had to speak up." The prophet has a desire from God to openly, clearly, forthrightly declare the message of God. The second, the gift of ministry, is a gift of serving. It's a nonverbal gift. It's a gift by which the servant is motivated to meet the practical needs of others. The servant is willing to cook the church supper, change the tire on the church bus or the van, or drive people to the hospital. A totally different kind of gift, and yet just as important a gift, a spiritual gift that comes from God Himself. And then the third one is the gift of teaching. The teacher has the motivation from God to explain the Word of God, to clarify truth, to make sure that you understand. The prophet wants to make sure that you repent. The servant wants to make sure your needs are met. The teacher wants to make sure you really understand this, that you've studied it out properly, that you grasp it in its entirety so that it can make a difference in your life. Different spiritual gifts with different motivations from God, and yet every one of them used in coordination together to minister to people in these last days. The gift of exhortation is the gift of encouragement. It comes from the Greek word in the New Testament, paraclete, someone who is called alongside to help, like the Holy Spirit Himself, who is called the paraclete or the comforter. The gift of the exhorter is to comfort and encourage us. Whereas the prophet sees the glass of water as half empty, the encourager sees it as half full. The prophet says, "Your life's not right with God." The exhorter says, "Well, it's not as bad as it could be. And if you get right with God, think of how full it really could be and how wonderfully God could use you." Both God's servants, both motivated by the same Savior, both filled by the same Spirit, and yet their gifts are different. The uniqueness of these gifts is that God uses them to bless our lives and to minister to our lives. For there are times we need the prophet to say to us, "Repent and straighten up." There are times we need the teacher to say, "Here, let me help you understand this." Times we need the servant to say, "Let me give you a ride and take you to the Bible study." And there are times we need the exhorter to come along and say, "Hey, it's not that bad. God isn't finished with you yet. He's still at work in your life. After all, God has a wonderful plan for your future." In a minute, we'll come right back and we'll look at the rest of the list of these gifts, and then we'll begin to examine how we can know what our gifts are and how we can best use them in the service of the Lord. The spiritual gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 12 are seven spiritual gifts that motivate us in our service for God. There are other lists of gifts in the Bible that have to do with jobs that you do. An apostle, a pastor, an evangelist, a teacher, etc. There are other lists of gifts that have to do with the results of ministering to somebody, wisdom, etc., helps and service. But this particular list of gifts in Romans 12 are spiritual gifts that drive our service to God, that motivate our service to God. Notice the list behind me. You have the gift of preaching, the desire to verbally declare the message, the Word of God. The gift of serving, the desire to meet the practical needs of people. The gift of teaching, what I'm doing right now, explaining and clarifying spiritual matters for our own spiritual growth. And then there's the gift of exhortation, encouraging people in their walk with God. And then there are three more that are up here that are so important, three gifts that really matter in our lives: the gift of giving, the gift of ruling, and the gift of showing mercy. The gift of giving is the desire to meet the practical financial needs of others. The giver is motivated to say, "The lights wouldn't be on unless I gave. There wouldn't be carpet on the floor of the church unless I gave. The salaries wouldn't be met unless I gave." Most of us go to church and don't even think about that. We just assume, yeah, the lights are on, the air conditioning works, whatever. But the giver understands somebody has to pay for that. And the giver is motivated to invest in the work of God and in the things of God and is spiritually fulfilled in the process of that. The ruler has the spiritual desire, the drive, the motivation of organization and administration. Rulers are organized people who themselves are concerned to help get others organized. Let's get the job done more effectively, more efficiently. The servant will say, well, I'll go get the meal for you. I'll go buy a bucket of paint to paint the church or whatever. But the ruler says, no, we need a dozen people to paint the church. We need a dozen buckets of paint and a dozen paintbrushes and a couple of ladders. And he'll get everything all organized so that the servants can get out the bucket of paint, get out on the ladder and paint the church and get the job done. And then the mercy shower is the person who has the gift of empathy. The person who understands your emotional pain, your inner hurts. The mercy shower understands that your heart is aching and they want to share with you the love of God and the mercy of God. I understand. I know what you've been through. Their heart almost aches and bleeds when they use that gift. And if you've ever been hurting, if things have ever gone terribly wrong in your life, I guarantee you God sent a mercy shower along and they were a wonderful blessing to you. Now, the amazing thing about these gifts is that they're so different from one another and yet all so needed in the body of Christ, all of them working together in harmony at the same time. The prophet announcing the truth of God, the servant meeting our practical needs, the teacher explaining the truth of God, the exhorter encouraging us to live for God, the giver meeting our financial needs, the ruler helping organize our ministry, and the mercy shower identifying with our hurts. You see, in every one of these spiritual gifts, there are needs to be met. And a God who loves us understands when we need that. When we need a prophet, he'll send somebody along to tell us to straighten up. But when we need an exhorter to put his arm around us, to pat us on the back and say, God isn't finished with you yet. God is still at work. That word of encouragement, like a Barnabas, suddenly says, there is hope. God is still there in the midst of the problems. And yet a prophet like the Apostle Paul can write and tell us these things are wrong in your life and you need to straighten up. Or a teacher like Jesus himself can explain the truth of God in a way that we can put it to use in our own personal lives. Every one of those gifts is intended by God to minister to people in every age of the church, but especially in these last days. If there's any gift that is missing today in America, it's certainly the gift of prophecy. Prophets of God who are convinced that the Word of God is true, who are willing to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, and call us to faith in the things of God, are needed more than ever before. Servants who unselfishly want to take care of the needs of others, who instead of saying, I'll go first, will say, no, you go first. I'll wash your feet. I'll fix your meal. I'll prepare your needs to be met. We need teachers that will explain to us the truths of God in such a way that we can live our lives more effectively for God. We need counselors and encouragers and exhorters to help us in our walk with God, givers to finance the effort, rulers to organize the effort, and mercy showers to show the love of God for each one of us. You see, as all of these gifts work together, they work together in such a way that they're a blessing to the people and to the family of God. Now, it's not so important that you decide immediately, what's my spiritual gift? How could I know what my gift is? Let me give you a simple rule of thumb. You have to, first of all, know the Lord as your Savior in order to have a spiritual gift. Secondly, you have to have enough spiritual experience in walking with God in using the gift to really fully understand what your gift is. There was a time in my life I would have said, oh, my gift is something else. But over the years of ministry, you begin to understand, no, this is the gift that motivates you and drives you the most in your service for God. So sometimes it doesn't matter what your task is, your gift will overrule your task. For example, if you are teaching in a Christian high school, and your gift is preaching, you're going to get in the classroom and preach. If your gift is serving, you're going to help do the kids' homework for them. If your gift is encouragement, you'll tell them, hey, look, you really didn't fail. It'll be all right. If your gift is mercy, you'll just sit down and cry with them. Whatever your gift is will come out no matter what your task is. The key is to, first of all, understand that my gift is a gift from God. It's not me. It's Him. It's what He has done in my life and what He is doing through my life. That I'm not just living my life for myself. I'm living it as an instrument of God's grace. God is working through me to touch the hearts and lives of other people. God wants to use you wonderfully, powerfully in His service. He wants you to know what your gift is and how best to use it in serving Him. You say, Ed, how can I do that? Well, we'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to tell you in a practical way how to put your gift into the Lord's work and do it effectively and do it right now. Spiritual gifts are intended to be put to use in the Lord's service. He doesn't save us and automatically take us to heaven. He leaves us here on earth not only to share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but to invest our lives in serving Him. And so if God has gifted you to preach His Word, He'll train you and motivate you and give you the opportunity to preach. Somebody who's a prophet of God, called of God, can't keep from preaching. They'll preach to the trees if they have to. They'll go to the rescue mission or to a hospital or to a nursing home or anywhere they have that opportunity. Don't sit back and say, God, give me a great church. No, God will give you a great gift. And if you use the gift, God will see to it that you get the opportunity to use it in ways that can influence the lives of people. If your gift is serving, it's a desire to meet the practical needs of people. My mother-in-law, a wonderful, godly Christian, has this gift to the ultimate degree. She can almost read your mind and tell exactly what you need and when you need it. She'll show up with a cup of coffee or she'll show up with a sandwich to eat and say, here, I knew you were hungry, I knew you were thirsty. And you think, how did you know that? It's because it's her gift. The gift of teaching, that desire to take the truth of God and explain it in such a way that we can put it to practical use in our lives, is such a basic gift in the Christian life. The gift of exhortation, of seeing the encouraging need in our lives to say, God is at work in your life. The Spirit of God is still using you and growing you and developing you and challenging us in our service to the Lord. And the gift of giving, to meet our financial needs. The gift of ruling, the gift of organization and administration, and then the gift of showing mercy. Every one of those gifts is a spiritual gift, a gift that comes from God Himself, a gift that equips us to serve the Lord. Now, let me give you an idea of how these work. Let's suggest for a moment that a family sits down for a fabulous Sunday dinner. Or a Thanksgiving dinner, or some holiday dinner, and they've got a big turkey on the table, and they've got all the trimmings, the mashed potatoes, and the vegetables, and the cranberry sauce, and the pumpkin pie, and everything else that's going to go with this tremendous meal. But all of a sudden, in the middle of the meal, one of the kids accidentally knocks the turkey splat over on the floor. All of a sudden, all seven gifts go into operation. The prophet will say, you should have quit fooling around at dinner. I told you to quit horsing around. Now look what you did. You wasted this food. We could have fed starving millions with this. The servant will say, it's all right. I'll clean it up. I'll make another turkey dinner. Just stay right there. I'll be right back in a couple of hours. The teacher will say, well, now, the reason it fell off the table, it was perpendicular to the weight of gravity. And there's a great spiritual lesson to be learned in all of this. And the exhorter will say, hey, look, it's not that bad. Just cut the bottom off, throw it away, and eat the rest of it. It's okay. God can still use this. The giver will say, hey, forget it. Let's just go out to eat. I'll buy. And the ruler will say, now, wait a minute. Let's get organized. Mom, you run in there and get another turkey out of the freezer. Throw that thing in the microwave. Susie, you clean up the mess here. Johnny, you reset the table. And hang on, folks, because in 18 minutes, we'll have another turkey on the table. And the mercy shower will say, I know how you feel. You feel like a turkey, don't you? I've been there myself, you poor thing. Let's just cry about it before we do anything else. Seven spiritual gifts, all from God, all important, all equally valuable, and they all go into operation in different ways at different times to meet the need in our lives at that key point in time. spiritual gifts that God wants to use in each one of our lives. Somebody asked me one time, Ed, what gift do you think Jesus had? And I thought about that for a while, and I think the answer to that question is that Jesus was the epitome of all of these gifts. Jesus could stand like a prophet and say to the Pharisees, you hypocrites, you serpents, repent or face the judgment of God. But then he could turn around like a servant and wrap a towel around his waist and wash the feet of his own disciples. Like a great master teacher, he could stand in a little boat on a seashore and for hours captivate people with his message. Like an exhorter, he could sit down one-on-one with Nicodemus, a spiritual leader, and tell him how to be born again. He could sit down with a woman at the well whose life and marriages had all fallen apart and say to her, there's still hope. I can give you water by which you will never thirst again. As a giver, he was the greatest giver that ever lived, who gave himself and his life to die for our sins. And as a leader, as a ruler, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as a mercy shower, he could stand and weep over Jerusalem and say, how I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you would not come to me. He could weep at the tomb of Lazarus because he saw the agony in Mary and Martha, the sting of death and what it had done to them. And there as he stands sobbing in those moments and brushes away the tears, shouts, Lazarus, come forth. I am the resurrection and the life. You see, we tend to picture Jesus in our minds in light of our spiritual gift. We see him through our gift because in reality, he's the epitome of every spiritual gift. He's the source of the gift. When you and I receive the gift of salvation that Jesus offers, when we trust him as our personal Savior, and we give our hearts and lives to him, and Christ comes to live within your soul, and your heart is born again by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, and you become alive in God. Your life co-eternal now with God's life. You'll live as long as God will live. Then God not only prepares us ultimately to go to heaven, but gifts us so that we can serve him here on earth. God's called you to salvation, and you know the Lord as your Savior. He wants to use the spiritual gift or gifts in your life so that you can serve him effectively, faithfully. There's somebody right now that needs your gift. Somebody right now that needs the touch of your spiritual gift in their life. Let God use you to be a blessing to them. Do it today.
In the final message on this tape, Dr. Heinsohn continues his series on spiritual gifts by giving specific instructions for using your spiritual gifts today.
When Jesus ascended back into heaven, he said to the disciples, stay here in Jerusalem, for the power of God will come upon you. And as they waited, they were waiting for the coming of the Spirit of God to enter into their lives. They were baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. They were emboldened with power from the Spirit of God to go and proclaim the message of Christ. And as they did it, God gave them spiritual gifts that they might serve the Lord. Those same gifts are available to you and me today. In Romans, the 12th chapter, we have a powerful passage that gives us a list of seven spiritual gifts. If you have your Bible, take it and turn to Romans 12, and let's take a look at that passage of Scripture as God speaks to our hearts through it today. In Romans 12, we're told that there are seven basic spiritual gifts that are motivating in our service to God. There are other lists of gifts in other passages of jobs we can do in serving the Lord and powerful impacts that we can have on the lives of people. But this list of gifts here in Romans 12 is a list of spiritual motivations that drive our service for the Lord. The gift of preaching, declaring the message of God. The gift of serving, meeting the practical needs of people. The gift of teaching, explaining and clarifying the truth of God. The gift of exhortation, of counseling and encouraging and helping others in their walk with God. the gift of giving, investing in the work of God, the gift of ruling and organization and administration, organizing the work of God, administrating the work of God, and then the gift of mercy, the gift of empathy with the hurts of people. Seven spiritual gifts, all unique to themselves, and yet all of them that work together in the body of Christ to shape our service to the Lord. In this passage, Paul lists these seven spiritual gifts, and in a typical rabbinic teaching style of his day, goes through the list, and then backs up and goes back and describes each gift in detail. So that after you read the list of gifts in verses 6 through 8, starting in verse 9, he comments on each gift. To the prophet, he says, "Let love be without hypocrisy, without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." And that's exactly what the prophet has to do. Love truth and righteousness and hate evil. But in your preaching against sin and evil, make sure that you balance it out with love. Let the person know that you hate their sin, but you love them. That you are concerned that the judgment of God is going to fall on them, but you're concerned because you're concerned for them. Balance your prophecy with love. And then he says to the servant in verse 10, "Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another," which is exactly what the servant does. The servant says, "No, you go first. No, let me meet your need first. I don't have a right to be heard until I have met your need. When you know how much I care, then you'll care how much I know." The gift of teaching. The teacher is told in verse 11 not to be slothful in business. Don't be an absent-minded professor. Fervent in spirit. Don't just crank it out like dead information. Serving the Lord, not the textbook. If you have the gift of teaching, you probably have the gift of study. You like to read, you like to study, you like to go down deep, dig out the details, the specifics of the information. The more I know, the better off I'll be, and that's great. But if you have the gift of teaching and you go down deep and you stay down long, just make sure you don't come up dry, is what he's saying. Teach it with fervency from the Lord. And then the exhorter is addressed in the next verse, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Exhorters are patient people who realize that God is at work in your life. Now, the motivation of the prophet is, I want you to repent, and I want you to repent right now. Because if you don't, you're liable to come under the judgment of God. The motivation of the teacher is, I want you to understand, and I want you to understand right now, but that may take time. You may need to read several things and study several things. And the exhorter wants to know that, hey, you're still making progress. Little by little by little, God is at work in your life. He's concerned about your patient walk with the Lord, and he always has a word of hope. It's never too late. God is still at work in your life. And then he speaks next to the giver in verse 13 and says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. In other words, don't just give to build projects. Give to meet the needs of people. Don't just pay to put them in the motel. Keep them at your house as well. Given to hospitality. And then to the ruler, he says in verse 14, bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. If you have the gift of ruling and administration, you've been cussed a few times along the road. Somebody wants to know, why is he telling us what to do? Or why is she trying to get all of us organized? Why didn't she just do it herself? Well, the motivation of the ruler is to help all of us get the job done effectively. And then to the mercy shower in verse 15, he says, rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. You know, that's exactly how each one of these gifts works, how each one operates within our lives. And a God who loves us is saying to us, I not only love you enough to send my son to die for your sins, to give you a home in heaven, but I love you enough that I'm going to save you so that you can serve me right here on earth. And I'm going to touch your life with my grace and give you a gift from my spirit that will enable you to serve me effectively. And if that gift is preaching, you'd better say yes to God and start preaching. If that gift is serving, keep on serving. If that gift is teaching, you better start studying so you have something to teach. If that gift is exhorting, you better find people to encourage in their walk with God. If it's giving, start investing in the work of God. If it's ruling, start organizing the efficiency of God's work. And if it's mercy, pour your heart out to others. You say, Ed, how can I tell for sure which gift is mine and how to use it effectively in the Lord's work? Well, if you'll stay tuned, we'll be right back in a moment and we'll take a look at how all of these spiritual gifts ought to work in our lives today. Using your spiritual gifts to serve the Lord can be one of the most wonderful experiences of life. Oh, you don't need to worry about getting confused about it. As you use that gift, it will become obvious to you and to others what the gift is. In fact, sometimes other people will see it in your life sooner than you will and say to you, I was so blessed by your service. I was so blessed by your gift. I was so blessed by your message. So blessed by that lesson that you taught, etc. And you'll begin to realize, oh, that really is my spiritual gift. That gift will drive you in your service to the Lord. And if it's a gift of preaching, you'll want to preach. And if it's a gift of serving, you'll want to serve. Now, the gifts are so different from one another that sometimes if we're not careful, we can almost view them in competition with each other when God never really intended it that way at all. Sometimes the prophet feels like, I'm the only one standing up for truth. The mercy shower says, well, I'm the only one who cares about people. All you do is blast them. At least I love them. The exhorter's like, well, I'm trying to encourage them. And the teacher's thinking, well, I'm trying to explain these things to them. And the servant's standing there saying, I was just trying to feed them a meal. The giver's like, I'm just trying to finance what they're doing. The ruler's saying, I'm trying to get them organized. You see, all of those gifts are given by God and are meant to work together. They're not in competition with each other. You don't set up one church based on one gift and another church based on another gift. Although if you look at denominations, you'll tend to see that that's kind of what they've done. In reality, all of those spiritual gifts ought to work together. They kind of work like this. They have their own focus, but they're all meant to accomplish the same job. Let's suggest for a moment that as we look at our seven spiritual gifts, preaching, serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, and showing mercy, there's a hitchhiker who's a non-believer, and he's out here trying to get a ride. Seven different Christians drive by with seven different spiritual gifts, and they all decide to pick him up. I can guarantee you, though every one of them knows the Lord as their Savior, though every one of them understands the Great Commission, preach the gospel to all people, they'll tend to do it in light of their spiritual gift. The prophet comes by. He picks up the hitchhiker. He's not going to get into a long conversation about how are you, how are things, God loves you. The prophet usually starts right in with the fact of sin. As he's driving the car, he's saying, if you were to die right now, where do you think you'd go? And the guy's thinking, if you don't watch where you're going, I'm liable to find out. You need to accept Christ as your Savior. Your problem is you need to repent of your sin, and you need to get right with God, and you need to do it right now. Well, in fact, there's enough room. You could kneel down right there between the dashboard and the seat and accept the Lord as your Savior, and he's going to push you for a decision before he lets you out of the car. The servant comes by. He picks up the hitchhiker. Oh, where are you going? Chicago. Yeah, we're in Denver. But yeah, I could drive you to Chicago, I guess. And that's great. He's indebted to your service. But you need to share the gospel with him before you get to the outskirts of Chicago. Along the way, let him know that I'm not only willing to meet your need, but I want to tell you about a Savior who can change your life. The teacher's going to ask you if you've read any good books lately. What have you read that's really made a difference in your life? Well, I don't know. Well, have you ever really read The Case for Christ or Mere Christianity or some theological work of some sort? And he'll start explaining and teaching the things of God, and he'll lead you through all the doctrines. He'll have books in the glove box that you can open up and read while you're riding in the car. When the person says, I want to get saved, you'll say, now, wait a minute. I don't want any false professions. I want to make sure you really understand the decision you're making here. I've taken you through bibliology and Christology and soteriology, and I got a couple of more ologies to go. Just hang on, and we'll get to the decision. The exhorter comes by and picks up the hitchhiker, and he usually starts with something positive. Like, man, it's a great day. Isn't the Lord wonderful? God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, there's a problem in there of sin that needs to be dealt with, but God loved us so much He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And boy, you'd just make a wonderful Christian. You need to give your life to Christ right now, and they just sort of want to love you right into a relationship with the Lord. In fact, ultimately, the exhorters are really the best soul winners. And then the giver picks up the hitchhiker, and he knows, man, this guy's got all kinds of problems. If you're out here hitchhiking, you probably haven't had dinner. You may not have a place to stay, etc. The next thing you know, he's going to finance a loan to let you buy a car. And that's great, but while he's indebted to you, give him the gospel that can change his life as well. The ruler picks up the hitchhiker. He knows he's a disorganized mess. Anybody that's out here hitchhiking either ran out of gas, doesn't have a car, or doesn't have a job. He'll tell you to go buy a daytimer. You need to get yourself organized. You need a budget. You need to get your whole life on a proper time schedule of some sort. And you need to add God to your life, too. That's important. And he'll organize you into heaven. The mercy shower will simply come by and pick you up because they don't want you to get hurt. I saw you out here on the highway all by yourself. You could get killed hitchhiking. I just had to pick you up. I wouldn't want some terrible thing to happen to you. And they'll cry you into heaven because they don't want you to go to hell either. In God's grace, he often uses those gifts in our lives because some of us are more ready to respond to the mercy shower, while others of us need the prophet to get in our face. Some of us need the hope and encouragement of the exhorter. Some of us need the explanation of the teacher. And at different times in our lives, we all need all seven of those gifts. And God will send people into our lives who have those spiritual gifts to minister them to us because it's his way of saying, I love you. I care about you. I want to meet the need in your life, and I want you to understand that while there's only one way to heaven, through the blood of Jesus Christ, my Son, there are many kinds of ministries that can touch your life to call you to faith in Christ. And there are many ways that God can use you in his service as well. At a time when we're thinking about the giving and receiving of gifts, what more important time to know that I've accepted the ultimate gift, the gift of salvation of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and that I'm willing to go out and use my spiritual gifts to serve him. In order to do it, and do it to the glory of God, there's one more thing you need to know. And in a minute, we'll be right back and see exactly what it is. God loves us so much that he's not only given us a home in heaven through Jesus Christ, his Son, but he's given us spiritual gifts by which to serve him right here on planet Earth, right now, today. What a wonderful privilege. What an incredible opportunity to know that my life can be touched by the grace of God in such a way that God can use me. Yes, he can. God not only wants to save your soul, he wants to use your life, and he wants to use you to be a blessing to others. That little word of hope, that shedding of a tear with a friend that's suffering, that word of confrontation, straighten up before it's too late, that time of explanation. Have you ever looked at this verse and understood what it means? That gift, that sense of organization, all of those things are spiritual gifts from God that we give back to him by giving them to others. So whatever your gift is, if you'll use it to the glory of God, God will use it to bless the hearts of people. And you'll understand what it is because when you're using your gift, you'll have a minimum of frustration and a maximum of efficiency. You'll feel like, well, this wasn't difficult at all. It just sort of came spontaneously, naturally, right out of my heart. Well, of course it did, because it's a heart that has been transformed by the power of God. You see, when God comes into our hearts and lives, and he changes us from within, he then affects everything that we do without. What happens inside affects what goes on the outside of my life. What I am doing with my body is a result of what God has done with my heart. That's why Paul starts Romans 12 by saying in the first two verses, give God your body, surrendered completely unto him. That's your reasonable service. And so that you don't think that you have to do it by your own self-effort, that you have to make it happen, he's given you these spiritual gifts as a gift of his grace to go forth and serve him. Oh, there may be one that is predominant in your life, or there may be a couple. Chances are you won't have all of them because some of them tend to compete almost with one another in an individual's heart. And yet in the body of Christ, in the magnitude of the ministry, all seven of them are needed because all of them work together to be a blessing to God's people. And when we understand what our gifts are, we understand something about ourselves, something about our motivation, our desires, our service to God. Why we do what we do is a result of the spiritual gifts that we have. And so as God saves your life, saves your soul, changes your future destiny, fills you with His Spirit, touches you with a spiritual gift, use that gift to the glory of God. You see, when that gift is at work, God is at work. Remember that scene in the movie Chariots of Fire, where the guy was a runner, and yet he was a Christian, and he was in the Olympics years ago when he was running for England in the Olympics, and yet at the same time God was tugging at his heart about being a missionary and going to the mission field, which he eventually did. And at a key scene in the movie, his sister says to him, but what about serving God as a missionary, and how does that fit in with your desire to race in the Olympics? And he looked at his sister and said to her, remember, when I'm out there running, I feel the touch of God in my life. I feel God at work in my soul. God is in this. It's a gift from God. When you're using your spiritual gift, you'll have that same experience. You'll realize it's a gift from God. Oh, and when somebody comes up to compliment you and say, wonderful sermon, great lesson, wonderful service, oh, what a great meal you prepared, oh, thanks for that word of encouragement, your heart will say, that wasn't me. That was God. Oh, it's not all about me. It's all about Him. It's all about pointing people to Him and realizing He's the one who saves our soul. He's the one who changes our lives. He's the one who gives us those spiritual gifts that make all the difference in the hearts and lives of others. You see, when you're using your spiritual gift, you're allowing God to work through you, through His Spirit, to touch the hearts and the lives of other people. When God is at work, the best of things can happen, even in the worst of circumstances. So if your gift is that of the prophet, and you're determined to call him to repentance, do it. Do it with love, and do it to the glory of God. If your gift is serving and meeting the practical needs of people, whether it's changing a tire on the church bus or whether it's fixing a meal, do it to the glory of God. If your gift is teaching, study and prepare and share that truth that you know will set their life free, and do it to the glory of God. If your gift is exhortation and encouragement, give that word of encouragement to help them in their walk with God. Do it to the glory of God. If your gift is giving and you're investing in the work of God, in the cause of Christ, do it to the glory of God. If your gift is ruling and organizing the people of God to be more effective, do it to the glory of God. And if your gift is mercy, it's identifying with the hurts and the needs of others, do that to the glory of God as well. Because you see, God speaks to us like a prophet and tells us, repent and trust in me. And like a servant, he reaches out to meet our needs. Like a teacher, he explains his truth throughout Scripture. Like an exhorter, he pats us on the back to encourage us and to tell us, I can fix this. Like a giver, he gives everything. He gives himself for us. Like a ruler, he is our king. And like a mercy shower, he weeps over our failures and our hurts and our pain. But like the great lover of our souls, he reaches out to us to say, I love you. I can help you. Put your faith and trust in me, and let my Spirit come into your life and change you and touch you and empower you with a spiritual gift, and go and serve me for the rest of your life, because ultimately, I'm coming again, and when I come again, I'll call you home to the Father's house, to the judgment seat of Christ, to the marriage of the Lamb, to the triumphal return, and I'll use you to serve me with your gifts in my millennial kingdom on earth for 1,000 years, and then beyond that, for all eternity. The God who loves you, loved you enough to die for your sins, loves you enough to give you a home in heaven, that God loves you enough to give you a spiritual gift by which you can serve Him faithfully and effectively for the rest of your life. Go and do it to the glory of God. God loves us so much that He gave us the gift of salvation and said to us, if you'll receive this by faith, it's yours. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to earn it. In fact, you can't. I'm offering it to you as a free gift. Take it. Receive it by faith today. Jesus went to the cross and died for your sins. He rose from the dead to give you the gift of eternal life. And if you'll trust Him as your Savior, you can have that gift today. The Bible says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never called on Him and put your trust in Him, do it right now. Pray something like this from the depth of your heart. Oh God, I know that You died for my sins, that You sent Your Son to take my place. I believe that what Jesus did is enough to give me the gift of eternal life. I take it by faith today. I receive it from You. Come into my heart. Become my Savior. Pray it in Jesus' name. Pray it by faith. Pray it from your heart. And God will hear your prayer and answer it and come into your life today.